You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Concern of political violence has begun to fade as Election Day across the country largely proceeded as planned, with many state and local election officials reporting the democratic process went without incident. But tensions rose in the weeks leading up to the midterm after reports of armed people watching ballot boxes in Arizona, the attack on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, as well as candidates from both parties who were assaulted, and warnings of a heightened threat to the election due to a rise in domestic violent extremism. A potential flashpoint for these political tensions in this year's midterm was Shasta County, where a primary election led to some tense moments at the county elections office back in June. Shortly after the primary, Kathy Darling Allen, the county registrar of voters, joined us to discuss navigating an unprecedented election. Registrar Allen joins us now to share how the week has been and how she's become a national advocate for election workers. Registrar Allen, welcome back to Insight. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much, Vicky. Great to see you as well.
Yeah, there is a lot of work that your staff does, both in the lead up to and in the days and weeks after the big election day. But before we dive into all of that, just how are you and your staff doing?
We're doing pretty well. We had a pretty good day on Tuesday. Lots and lots of voters. We had lots of voters here in our office, especially. And because it was raining here in Shasta County, that meant that we were kind of walking all over each other to accommodate all the traffic that we had. But that's what we're here for. And so we welcomed the traffic. And it was a pretty good day overall on Tuesday.
So the winter storm didn't deter any voters. It still led to a good turnout?
I think so. We have literally thousands of ballots left to process, and we're going to try and get a handle on that later this morning so we can report to my friend, Dr. Weber, what we have left to process later today.
When we last spoke with you after a contentious primary election in which some supporters of far-right candidates, they confronted you at the election offices, and it led to a long, heated discussion about the integrity of the vote. How did Tuesday night compare with the primary in June?
We implemented a whole host of new security protocols in between those two elections. And so things were pretty calm. We did have a couple of people who objected to those protocols, but we were able to utilize our partners in law enforcement. We had sheriff's deputies here inside the office to help with folks who had questions in person. And then we also had our local police who responded outside. We had obtained a special event permit to close the alley behind our office so that when poll workers were driving through the alley to drop off their ballots and so forth, folks could observe, but from a certain distance away. And there was some objection to not being able to be 3 feet away. They wanted to be 3 feet away instead of 25 feet away. And that conversation was heated, but ended peacefully with some police intervention. And then those folks did stay behind the barricades for the rest of the evening. So we were happy with that outcome.
Yeah. When you mentioned that alleyway, I remember you telling me back in June following the primary, I mean, weren't even like cameras planted, you know, in a bush, you know, back in the alleyway surveilling?
Correct. Yeah. We had a game camera that had been put up the night before. We found out later. And then it was taken down at some point later in the evening, or early morning, I should say, of Wednesday that week. In any case, none of that occurred this time. And I think, you know, our dedication and hours spent planning paid off.
Yeah. And when the polls did close on Tuesday, I was reading that there was a small group that did show up to your office with signs expressing support for you and your staff. I mean, what did that expression of support mean to you and your staff?
It really is tremendously important and validating. And I want to add, they're not the only folks that we've heard from. We've gotten thank you cards in the mail literally almost daily for the last about 6 weeks. And so we really appreciate the support of the community. I think the election results in June really cemented for me an understanding of what the voters want in our county, and that extreme reaction is not what the voters supported, that those candidates did not win in June's election. Obviously, we don't know the results for the November election. We still have lots of ballots left to count, but we'll see if that it remains true. in November as well.
And you've been very vocal as well. I mean, you spoke with, you know, national publications like the New York Times and when talking about the concerns about the threat of violence. And I believe in that article, you said you never dreamt that one day you'd be coming up with a plan to what to do if you were physically attacked or at worst, you got shot. Did that realization, the fact that you have to reconcile this and kind of and think about something that you were really never prepared to as a registrar, did it ever lead you to reconsider running for re-election or and maybe potentially stepping down?
Yeah,
because you've been doing this for a while. So
yeah, no, I have. I have. I actually had my I rolled past my 18th anniversary in September of working in the elections department here in Shasta County. So it has been a minute. And I think that you talked earlier with Secretary Dr. Weber about the people leaving the field. Certainly I've had those thoughts and kind of had to go through my own grieving process, frankly, about the way that this job has changed. It is not the same job that it was when I started 18 years ago. But what the mission of defending the voters and defending our republic has never changed. But what we have to do now to accomplish that mission is different. So I think what we're seeing are, and I absolutely don't fault anyone who doesn't want to make that pivot, right, to really accept the fact that the job they've done for a while is not the same job that they accepted, right? I did not sign up for folks threatening me or following me to my car or any of that kind of stuff, right? And neither did any other election official that I'm aware of in the United States. But every election official I've ever met who does this work has a foundational and fundamental understanding of how important the work we do is every day. It's not just election day that's important, right? But obviously, it's the day we get the most attention. So certainly, I've had those thoughts and those concerns, and I know others have as well. And I hope that me being willing to speak out encourages folks, especially those who are younger than me in the profession, to stay in the profession. I know that there is a lot of talk about term limits and bureaucrats being in office for too long. But when you have institutional knowledge of a process that's as layered and complex as conducting elections, especially in a state like California, where we have such complicated ballots, so many language requirements, things that are just really exceptional, it really that institutional knowledge and that the years of experience are important. So I want to encourage folks who are younger and are amazing. In Sacramento right now, you have an amazing registrar of voters in Hang Nguyen. She is brilliant and smart and young, and I hope she and others like her stay in office and stay on the path, as I will for my next term. But it's really just an incredibly important job, and it's incredibly important that we have people who are experienced and non-biased conducting this work.
Yeah. You know, given that nationally, you know, there were reports that there was a poll worker shortage, but that wasn't the case for you. I mean, you had told a local news station that you were fully staffed. What went into the recruitment and the training process that your office undertook?
So in general, in November, we just don't have a hard time recruiting poll workers. That historically, that's a pretty consistent pattern. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that everyone knows that there's an election in November. It's never a surprise to anyone. But June and March election dates are a little tougher, right? March can be a break time for schools. Certainly in June, early June elections are always conflicting with folks' vacations or graduations and other things like that. So those just by nature of when the elections are kind of presents a little bit of a challenge, but November is almost never a problem. So we did our normal recruiting, nothing really exceptional for this election.
Mm. You, when we first started talking, you said that since June, you put some different measures in place to kind of prevent what happened in June for the general election, the midterm. And there were a couple things that kind of popped up for us. It was like in September, your office put out a public notice about possible voter intimidation occurring within Shasta County. The same month, you hosted a webinar and you sent out flyers to residents to combat misinformation and disinformation. How successful were those measures and those protocols?
So I hope that the webinar was helpful. What had happened, the webinar and the voter intimidation is kind of connected in one larger incident that's all connected. There was a person who had been brought to our county to do a presentation whose name is Doug Frank. He's appeared with Mike Lindell in the past, and he has a particular way that he analyzes data that is really incorrect and inaccurate. And so some of our citizens here brought him to the Board of Supervisors in mid-September. And one of the techniques that he espouses is finding phantom voters. And so the way that he encourages local groups to combat it is by obtaining the list of registered voters and then knocking on doors to make sure that the people who live there are the people on the list. This activity, though, and the way that it was performed caused multiple people to call, contact us and complain that they felt targeted, that they felt intimidated. And so we got contacted by three people on one weekend, and then the next weekend I got contacted by another voter who literally called the police before these folks left their property, and they were very upset by the contact. And this was not a situation where they were going door to door on a block. They were literally driving into a neighborhood, parking in front of folks' house, knocking on the door, and then getting back in their cars and leaving. So there was no, and that was the same story I heard from all the people who I spoke to. So it was very troubling, and I wanted to make sure, so we did the press release, to make sure that other voters in our community understand that, number one, that effort was not undertaken by my office, and that we would never contact people door-to-door randomly in that way, and also that if someone else, other voters were contacted, that they had no obligation to speak to those folks. They don't have to answer questions, and specifically, they don't have to answer questions about people who do not live there. So imagine if you're living in an apartment, and you just moved in 2 months ago and registered to vote there, and someone knocks on your door and is yelling at you about people's names who you don't know who may have lived in that apartment prior to you. How could the current resident possibly be responsible for that kind of information? So in any case, in an effort to kind of combat the information that that Doug Frank was spreading in our Board of Supervisors meeting and also in a private meeting he had at a local church where I am told about 120 people attended at the cost of $20 a head. We put on a webinar, and there's a gentleman who is a professor and a fellow at the Hoover Institution in Stanford, Professor Justin Grimmer. He agreed to come online in a virtual sense and do a webinar with us. And that's on my website, the office's website now, if folks want to take a look at that, kind of breaking down and explaining and debunking the analysis protocols that Doug Frank uses. Just as an example, one of the things that he said at our Board of Supervisors meeting in mid-September was that the rate of voters, the number of voters, were growing faster than our population. So he was comparing the voter file and its growth over time to the census data. Well, in 2018 in California, we started automatically registering folks as they went through the DMV process. He's from Ohio, so he probably doesn't know that, but that's a very logical and clear reason why our number of voters would have gone up in the last 5 years faster than the population. So that's just an example of the misinformation and the spin that's put on information around elections right now. That's just patently false and misleading. But, you know, when it's packaged and presented in such a slick and professional way, like Mike Lindell is able to do, you know, I don't have $40 million to put a light screen behind me and have a makeup person and a wardrobe person and a producer and a director and a scriptwriter and all the things that that kind of money would purchase for me and allow me to present this amazing, very engaging and deceiving presentation. So
that was a mouthful. That was a lot. And I'm just curious, since this is your 18th year serving Shasta County in elections, is there a time that compares to this for you in nearly two decades?
No, absolutely not. This is, like I said, I absolutely kind of went through my own grieving process about this job and about the way things have changed. But I feel at a very base level that our country needs us. Our country needs those of us who are willing to step forward and willing to hold the line. We have to continue to do that. I know that the national election results, a lot of election deniers did not win their races this week, which is a great thing for our country, but that does not mean that the battle is won.
Hmm. When looking at the general and the primary, were there some learning lessons or incidents that came up with your office? There were a couple of, I think, mishaps that your office took responsibility for the city council race, and also that about 300 voters in Reading received the wrong ballot type for the midterm. Can you just explain like what exactly happened, what you learned from it, and what you're going to take from it moving forward?
Sure. Part of what has happened for our office, and I'm sure for offices around the country, is having to lay redistricting processes on top of regular election processes because of the delay in census results due to COVID last year. So normally we would have gotten census data in April. We did not get it until August last year, which really delayed things. Additionally, here locally, we did not get information. One of our local community college districts moved their boundaries totally within reason, and we expect that to happen during the redistricting process, but we had no notice or consultation in that process. And so as a result, the lines that they drew not only drew them right through the middle of precincts, which causes us an enormous amount of additional work, but they in some cases even bisected parcels, so divided properties in half. So that's it's kind of like taking a jigsaw puzzle, and instead of putting it together in a different way, you start cutting the pieces apart. So it just creates a whole exponential level of work that our staff had to undertake in the middle of trying to canvass the June election and then prepare for candidate filing to begin on July 14th. In addition to that, on July 12th, I believe, we were at our Board of Supervisors, that's the correct date, talking about a recount of June's election. So, all of these efforts to distract, unfortunately, were to some degree successful. So we, as you say, we had one particular group of voters, 291 voters to be exact, who we had gotten to the wrong district. And so that was a very easy fix, and we mailed all those voters new ballots at the beginning of the absentee period in early October. The city council race was strictly human error on our part, combined with some problems in candidate filing on the city's part. And because the city, when they filed their candidates, did not ask any of their candidates if they wanted to vote for a two-year or a four-year seat, which all should have been on ballot, they only had one of those or two of those seats on ballot for the 4 years. So what was missing was a two-year seat. But because none of the candidates had answered that question, we couldn't kind of go back in time and recreate those ballots. So we have a special election happening in the city of Shasta Lake in our county on March 7th next year.
Hmm. Finally, since all of this, I mean, you have become a national advocate for election workers and, a very strong critic of election deniers. I mean, you testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on a hearing about protecting frontline workers. You're also a member of the Future of California Elections Network, which works to advance policies and practices to ensure equitable access to the democratic process for all voters. Finally, what gives you optimism that this will endure?
I love this country. I believe in this country and what it was founded on. Bring us, you're tired, you're hungry. I absolutely believe that that is what makes America stronger and better. And I do believe it may get worse before it gets better, but it will get better. We have the community I live in has pluses and minuses, but there are overall, I love this community. All my children live here. My granddaughter lives here. We have amazingly generous people in our community. And I know that's true for the nation as well. I've spent a lot of time in other states besides California. I actually grew up back east. So I have a little bit wider view, maybe. And my little tiny view is that our country is strong. And it is fragile. The democracy that we all love and cherish is fragile. So we really have to continue to fight to preserve it.
Registrar Allen, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Kathy Darling Allen is the Registrar of Voters in Shasta County. Still ahead, we'll meet the Beatles Guitar Project, a nonprofit advancing music education across Northern California, ahead of their epic 40-piece orchestra performance this weekend. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.